Chew! Have you got a cold?
If you prick me, do I not bleak?
I'm getting sick.
I'm sure half the ship knows that by now.
Sounds nasty. What's the therapy?
A generous dose of PCS.
PCS?
Lasky's chicken soup.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 19. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we're going to be chatting about the 1E tournament we had last weekend at Comic-Con with 1E guru Jeremy Commander. And we'll have a spoiler from Favor the Bold.
As promised, we once again have absconded with the resident 1E commissioner, Jeremy Commander, last week at Comic-Con. Dan, our field agent at that particular tournament, was able to get a few of his moments to interrogate him, and this is what he had to say.
So, Jeremy, you hosted a 1E tournament here in San Diego. The turnout was, what, about six players? Seven players.
Yes, that's right. I set up for Friday, and I saw the panels on Friday. I'm like, I'm going to have a lot to compete with, so I don't know how good turnout's going to be. So thanks to everyone who did come out. We had free snacks and loads of prizes, and some guys showed up late.
Yeah, sorry.
I put up photos of Comic-Con and of the 1A tournament on my web gallery. You can see it at gallery.me.com/Jeremy Commander. And my last name is spelled like my message board handle, so it's C-O-M-M-A-N-D-E-U-R. You want to see what was going on at Comic-Con or take a picture at the take a few glances at the 1E tournament.
What were you playing at the tournament? I didn't get to play you, unfortunately.
I was playing Bajorans as I hadn't built a 30-card deck in a while. I thought, wow, 30 cards and Highlander, it's kind of limiting. I need some way of getting stuff back. So I wanted to either process or conduct services. And so I decided to conduct services with the Bajorans. And the Bajorans have a nice 2E backwards compatible interrupt, which is, I think it's Souls of the Dead. You command three Bajorans, put a card from your discard pile back on top of your draw deck. And so I thought, oh, hey, there we go. There's a nice, easy way of getting more stuff back in Highlander. And so I went with Bajorans. And it worked reasonably well. I was fairly happy. I got creamed by Thomas. But other than that, I did just fine.
I had a few Bajorans in my deck. I was playing Maquis again, Maquis in the Delta Quadrant with Liberty at Caretaker's Ray. And man, I really have a good time playing with those guys because it's just a bunch of just random people coming together. You had mentioned that one of your goals is to make Maquis a little bit more playable. When can I look forward to that?
that's a ways off. For Chewie, the Maquis are a very playable affiliation. And in fact, so much so that they're often, people tell me they're the dreaded affiliation because people hate playing against them. But one, you can't really play a Maquis deck because they have no play engine and they have no draw engine. And they just kind of blow. So in the SoCal format, at least you have the We Are the Borg rule to get them up and going and running, which helps quite a bit. But I want to eventually, when we do virtual cards, it's still quite a ways off, do a few cards to make the Maquis really a playable affiliation. They need at least one play engine and at least one draw engine. I thought it was nice that we saw, it was interesting we only saw one DQ deck in the tournament. Everybody else was Alpha Quadrant. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, and I didn't feel guilty about playing because it was very non-traditional.
Yeah, absolutely. Had some Vulcans going on, two Bajoran decks.
What did Thomas beat you up with?
He was fed VCM, so no style points for that. Although I did play Dixon Hill's business card, and his Fed VCM deck had only one universal personnel on it, so that locked him for about, seven, eight turns. But I couldn't really take advantage of it because I could not draw a second resistance personnel or a ship to get my play engine or my draw engine going. So we both just sat around and drew cards. It was pretty hilarious. Thomas, to get out of the Dixon Hill's business card, he had to successfully kill his Ingi Iger and then wait till he went through all the way through his draw deck to initiate the SoCal Regenerate rule, and then wait till he drew her again in order to play Ergin and get rid of the Dixon Tills business card, then he could drop his, at that point, like 15 unique Federation guys he had in his hand. I think Matt sucked his ship up and dropped his Universal guy again to get out of the Dixon Hills business card. It was annoying people all day. I really didn't think it would be that good of a card. Like against the Maquis, I'm sure it wouldn't do much of anything because you have plenty of Universal guys. But against all
yeah,
the
I actually had a couple of second edition Maquis people that I was playing that were non-unique. but I think it's the format. I think in Highlander, your choices are so limited. You've got to go with the power people, and most of those are going to be unique.
Right, right. I'm surprised no one tried Borg, because I think a good, fast Borg deck, even in Highlander, would work pretty well. I had a second deck to loan out, which was a Borg deck, but no one took me up on it. I heard Franklin tried to play Borg in SoCal format and couldn't do it, so he gave up. Is that true?
It's tough. I mean, with a limit of 30 cards, I mean, there's so many tools that you want to play with within a Borg deck, and it's just to cut it down to just such a small deck is... Especially with, you only get one queen, so you can't rely on that coming out early unless you do some shenanigans. Yeah, it's tough.
Well, you can defend homeworld the broken 2E drone and then download the queen onto the top of your draw deck. That does work.
Yeah, unless somebody juggles you repeatedly. So this was, advertised as, a tournament to come out to. A couple of different regions coming together, Northern California, Southern California. What have you had any additions to what we're planning for? What you're planning for a Gen Con, the next kind of large 1E event?
Yeah, for 1E Worlds, we just have 1E Worlds coming up at Gen Con. I'm going to offer a parallel prize pool for people who voluntarily play a standard deck. So I'll put that up probably next week or sometime in early August. What the parallel prize pool will be, and if you voluntarily come with a standard deck, then you will be eligible for the second batch of prizes. And you don't have to. You're perfectly welcome to come with an open deck and play open. But if you voluntarily come with a cleaned up standard deck, then I'll reward you handsomely.
And standard, as we talked about, is the traditional X list, et cetera.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And standard orbit is probably going to make the X list before 1E Worlds, as I've been getting lots of negative turnout reports about it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of turnout does Worlds get usually? And what are you expecting this year?
Well, last year, 1E Worlds had, what do they have, 11 people? I mean, that's not fabulous, but it's not that bad either. And that was with no real hardcore official organization or promotion. And that was just, Dave Bowling showed up, and lots of people came with him. Can't have 1E Worlds without Dave Bowling. I think that's the rule.
Are they going to be held in the same location that the 2E events are going to be?
Yeah, so it'll all be together.
I can use medical right about now.
Did anything at the 1E tournament that we had really impress you as far as things you haven't seen before?
Things I hadn't seen. Well, your Maquis deck was, of course, rather amusing. That was great. Did you ever get the drills card out or no?
Yeah, I played about three rounds and didn't see it once. it's tough to pull out in Highlander. There's nothing that'll fetch it.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, well, at least with a 30-card Dread deck, you could play one Masaka Trans and one Obelisk in the deck. And then you have, a 3-in-30 chance of getting it in your opening hand times 7 or whatever. You have a somewhat chance of getting into it, but that could still be a bit tough. I had a Masaka Trans and a Renewal Scroll, as I had only a few ships, and I wanted to make sure I could draw into a ship. Although against Thomas, I didn't draw any of those, and it didn't help me any.
Any dilemma combos you weren't expecting?
Oh, you guys were all using the 2E tech dilemma combo there, with the Caretaker's Guess.
Caretaker's Guess, and then
Artillery Attack. Yes, that's good stuff. And in regular format, I'd have my Juggler to protect me, but... And SoCal format, there's no valid response to Caretaker's Guess, so I'm just screwed. The best combo thing, someone got lore on top with that and killed, what was it, 7 people? That was pretty awesome. I used to do for 24 Hours of Trek the cool tournaments, where it's just, how cool your deck was. It didn't matter if you won or lost, just how creative your deck was. And so one year for the cool tournament, I made a deck that couldn't win. And the whole idea of the deck was for me to lock myself out. So I never actually took a turn. I was using I was using the force field one, the ref icon one. Containment field. And if you have more than two cards stacked in a containment field, you only get to retrieve two, and then you have to skip your turn. So I made a deck with all these special downloads, and the idea was, if I set it up properly, on my opponent's turn, I would do special downloads. And go into my containment field, which I could only retrieve two. And if all went according to plan, I would never take a turn. So I'd have a game with no turns, and I seeded Horgons under their missions. So they would get double turns. And the whole goal is to see if I could go the entire tournament without taking a turn. And it almost worked, but Steve Lee's cool Borg deck was too slow and took like 24 turns to win, and I ran out of special downloads.
I think after the tournament was over, we had considered adding one card to our ref list, and that Changeling Sweep
from All Good Things. Yeah, that'd be interesting. At one point in development, it did have a ref icon, and then it lost its ref icon and never got it back. So I'm in favor of more ref icons. So that makes sense. What bothered me this year at Comic-Con is the banners for Comic-Con, the ones on the street, had the Star Trek logo all over everywhere, and yet there was like no Star Trek content at the con. You know, there was no trailer, guest panels, anything, and so that was rather disturbing.
Do you think that they spent all the money on it last year, not realizing they were going to have to push the movie back a couple of months?
I don't know, but honestly, if you're, you know, Comic-Con being the largest fanboy commission in the U.S., if you're going to show up with a Star Trek movie anywhere, you should show up there. And, you know, some of they got fresh faces for the cast. I mean, those actors can't be too expensive to go send them to the con just to say hello or make an appearance. And so that would have been nice. Simon Pegg was already there to promote Spaced. They could have gotten him to do something.
Yeah, and Zachary Quinto was there. I actually saw him after hours walking down the street. He waved, seemed to be a nice guy. But yeah, there should have been plenty of people there. It would have been nice to have a little more information. Maybe they're being tight-lipped because they're having problems. I don't know.
Yeah, they said, oh, we couldn't cut a trailer because none of the effects are done yet, and we didn't want to do a trailer without effects. So, like, well, I really don't care about the effects. I've seen plenty of Star Trek effects. What I really want to care about is, what do all the new cast sound like? I would just like to hear them speak. Surely you have dialogue shots without special effects that we could see. Especially Kirk. What does the guy playing Kirk sound like? That's what I'm most curious about.
It'll be interesting to see if any of them are doing, you know, impersonations of their previous incarnation. All right, Jeremy. Well, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you at Worlds. And, hey, before we go, you've seen a lot of Favor the Bold. Are you looking forward to any backwards compatible cards that are there?
Yeah, some of the dilemmas look very interesting. The backwards compatible dilemmas. I'm looking forward to those. I think more than anything else.
All right, fantastic. We'll see you in Indianapolis.
All right, see you then.
How do I draw 19 cards in 1E?
Renewal scroll.
We have card number 33 from set 16. The Cardassian Tell. The subtitle is Maset's Aid. Costs 2, it has a staff icon, integrity 4, cunning 5, strength of 6.
His skills are medical, programming, science, transporters, and treachery. He also carries with him the Glen keyword, so you can retrieve him with conscription. But his text is what makes him really interesting.
When a dual dilemma is revealed from the opponent on your right's dilemma stack, you may discard 3 cards from hand to exchange that dilemma with a dual dilemma beneath this mission that this personnel has not faced this turn. That sounds really complicated. So
it does, but it could come in handy in specific situations.
Right, so I attempt a mission with him. Maybe it's the second attempt or the third attempt. A dual dilemma is revealed. Say, I don't know, tragic turn. I chuck 3 cards from hand, and then I can swap it with any other dual dilemma that somehow is already under the mission.
That looks right. That'd be a good one to avoid, too.
So you can bring out something that you've already passed on a previous turn. Maybe he's in your second attempt.
How does that work with cost? Can you swap it for something that's overcosted and then you overcome it?
Yeah, so you throw down a royal hunt. You know, I've attempted with exactly the number of dilemmas you have down there, so you must have machinated or something for it. I can swap that card with another dilemma that I placed in a previous turn that, say, costs more than zero. It'll automatically be overcome because it's overcosted.
That sounds about right. I think my estimation of this card just went up a little bit. But like most of the Deal Breaker cards, he is not spectacularly attributed, so you're going to need a lot of guys to go down if you send him along anyway.
That would be interesting if someone threw down a Timescape first, and then you swapped it out with a more expensive dilemma.
Yes, and then your last dilemma can't be done. Yes. Well, this is just going to be all kinds of messed up.
Yeah. His last thing here, his lore is, I meant nothing. There was no harm done. We'll look forward to seeing this guy and all the other cards in Favor of the Bold coming up at Gen Con.
All right. Well, that's all the intelligence we have from Comic-Con this week. We look forward to counting down the weeks until the release of Favor of the Bold and World Championships at Gen Con. We'll be doing some live coverage there. So if you're going, find us. On behalf of our producer, Matt, I would like to thank, of course, Warp 11 for their musical sponsorship. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
All right, so this is 1E. I'm gonna commandeer Empaknor, and I'm gonna download 17 pieces of equipment. All right, to various sites and things. On my next turn, I'm gonna walk all that back to a ship, pick up the ship with space-time portal, and then I'm gonna play Renewal Scroll, which allows me to discard all of his equipment cards and draw 17 plus 2, draw 19 to end.
Wow.
Yeah. I just love 1E.